Hi, everyone. Welcome and thank you for tuning into The Animal Files, the podcast where we expose the truth, science, and spirituality of pet care and provide you with the wisdom and tools you need to raise happy and healthy companion animals. My name is Victoria, an animal spirituality facilitator and integrative energy practitioner.
And my name is Miranda, an animal health technologist and pet care safety expert.
Let's dive in, shall we?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Animal Files podcast. Last week, we got heated, or at least I did. We're talking about service dogs. Today, we're going to, I guess, expose the controversy and the reason why I get so triggered as we talk about the real cost that comes with fake service dogs. And I think it's an important conversation that needs to be had because I think nowadays, I'm sure you've seen this as well, Miranda, that there's been an uptick in a lot of people trying to scam the system with fake service dogs and therapy dogs and stuff like that. And I'm glad we're going to be talking about this. So let's just get right into it.
Yeah, it seems to be coming out a lot more. Like, I don't see it personally because I'm not out and about a whole lot, but you know, I'm seeing it talked about on YouTube and in other media type areas, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, I think that there is a really strong temptation around this particular issue because have you guys ever seen a service dog with its handler? And maybe wished you could take your dog everywhere with you too.
Oh, I'm sure there is lots of people out there like that.
I mean, sure, it seems like a wonderful idea for all of you dog lovers out there, right? Because you never have to leave your dog at home. Maybe you feel your dog is extremely well behaved and should be allowed to go to all of these public spaces that service dogs have access to.
I'm trying to keep my lip zipped.
But there is a difference between desiring to have your dog with you at all times and actually legitimately needing your service dog to help you with various serious health issues, mobility issues, and navigating society if you've got some kind of a mental health condition like PTSD or autism. So ponder these questions. Would you lie to get a handicapped parking placard? Would you choose to fake an injury that required the use of a wheelchair to obtain special services? Would you feign a life-threatening illness to qualify for a Make-A-Wish trip?
I hope there's not people out there like that.
I'm sure most of you listening, or maybe all of you listening, are probably saying, no, I would never do that. So now, would you pretend your dog was a service dog just so you could take him or her to all the public places you go to?
Oh, unfortunately, I think there are people that would say no to the other three questions and yes to that one. And that's where my triggers are going to come in if we start talking about that.
Yeah.
It's a double standard.
It is.
It just really is.
Ask yourself, what is really the difference between any of these?
Yeah. And I want to add in right now that an emotional support animal is not a service animal, period.
Yeah. And we're going to clarify that even more deeply as we go through this.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that section, but I wanted to make sure that anybody listening right now knows that there is a very big difference right off the bat, because we're talking about the real cost of fake service dogs, and an emotional support animal is not a service dog.
Yes. So right now, there seems to be two different trends that are happening. One is that there are some people who are intentionally and fraudulently misrepresenting their dogs as service animals. However, it's not always to receive perks. Sometimes this is being done in order to get accepted into apartments or rental units because a lot of them have a no pet or a no dog policy. So I can understand to a certain extent because we always talk about, you know, having a pet is a commitment and that you shouldn't abandon your pet or give up your pet in order to find a place to live. Makes it really difficult when you are renting and there's a lot of places that are not accepting pets. And unfortunately, that has occurred because of irresponsible humans.
Yes.
The other trend that is happening, which I wasn't aware of, until I put this episode together, is that there are also scam service dog organizations that are appearing. They are selling untrained service dogs for thousands of dollars to people who legitimately require a service dog.
Wow, that's another layer of evil.
So these people think they are getting a service dog that is genuinely going to support their needs, and they're getting a dog that doesn't know how to help them properly, is wreaking havoc when they're out in public, potentially.
Wow, that's mind-blowing. I did not know that either.
I think this is something that we've kind of talked about, you and I, a bit, about that there is just this level of chaos that is becoming increasingly more and more and more. And it's peaking right now, You know, so hopefully sooner than later, it's going to start coming down on the other side of that peak.
Hopefully. There's too many people getting injured by these evil people in ways that may not be very obvious to the outsider, but we need to start being kinder and stop trying to grift off of people who are vulnerable.
Yeah, because you might think that, oh, you know, what's the big deal about having a fake service dog? Well, the problem is that it is harming the individuals who genuinely need them, and not being able to receive the benefits of having a service dog, which is allowing them to have a relatively independent life. Because service dogs are essentially allowed everywhere because the handler never knows when something is going to happen and is going to need assistance for the service dog. So this is why the service dog is always with them. It's not so that these people can get these specific perks. So when fake service dogs become an issue and they're going into public settings and not acting in an appropriate way for a public setting, it's causing confusion to the public because the public no longer knows what dogs are real service dogs and which are not. And they think that the fake service dogs are real service dogs, but really poorly trained dogs.
Yeah.
So it's creating distrust towards people who have legitimate service dogs, because you get comments like, oh, you don't really need a service dog. I can see you walking just fine. Or you don't have a vest on your dog. That's not a real service dog. You're just pretending, you know, or whatever the case may be. Yeah. There's like all these different viewpoints.
That's why last week when I said I think it should be a regulation across all countries, cities, municipalities, that a service dog, a truly registered and certified service dog, should be wearing a jacket with some type of a license number or something that where somebody can check. And I think that, you know, some people might think that's invasion of privacy, but it's not. It's helping the handler of that dog. It's helping that dog do its work. And it is providing a situation where you don't have to have that distrust. That's why I was so adamant about it last week.
Mm-hmm. When we have these poorly trained or perhaps completely untrained fake service animals, they can actually also create a danger to the public as well as to real service dogs.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to say in more words than I needed to.
And one situation that I read about occurred in an airport where a person with a cognitive disability, which was acquired during his time in the army, he ended up being nearly attacked by another dog that was being represented as a service dog.
Oh my goodness.
This person's legitimate service dog was able to intervene effectively to prevent any injuries. However, the real service dog ended up being initially rattled by the interaction and ended up being unable to perform his duties for a short period of time.
It's kind of like a little mini PTSD for a dog.
Yeah.
That's sad. Again, that registration number, it's got to be legit.
So it's been proven and shown that misrepresented dogs are often disruptive around other dogs and people, have caused damage, displayed other behaviors that are not considered acceptable in public spaces. And so this is really affecting the reputation of legitimate service dog users. Some businesses have also become suspicious of accepting any service dogs in their establishment because they can't truly identify which ones are the real ones and which ones are the fake ones.
Yeah.
And they're trying to protect their business, even though it's supposed to be illegal to not allow a service dog in a public space.
Yeah, we can't have this distrust in regards to the situation. We have to find ways to mitigate that and try to help the public feel more comfortable and more knowledgeable. I mean, I don't know whether it's a community thing, but one thing I want to add, if you question whether a service dog is legit or not, watch the dog's behavior, because a legitimate service dog is going to have a completely different demeanor. It is not going to have a quote unquote dog-like demeanor. It's going to be on the job. It's going to be highly focused. It's going to not be able to be distracted very easily. And if you're out and about and you're wondering whether that service dog is legit, just watch the behavior. A fake service dog is going to act like a regular dog. A legit service dog is going to be stoic and poised and focused. And that's one way to check your doubts, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, I think with the fake service dogs, though, is that they're not always going to be displaying bad behavior, because there are dogs out there that are not service dogs, but also not really reactive. They're not going to have a tendency to do damage or be barking all the time and stuff like that. So
true,
that can make it a challenge too. But the focus part, I think, is a really key aspect.
Yeah, they're on the job. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to be paying attention to everything walking around. They're not going to be paying attention to people and wagging its tail when it sees somebody new coming down the street. A service dog is trained not to be distracted. Mm-hmm. So if you find a service dog, quote unquote service dog, that's getting distracted by everybody walking down the street, that's not a legit service dog because that focus is not there.
Right. So depending on what country you're in, there are different rules regarding service dogs. And just because a dog has a vest on that makes them look official doesn't mean that they are.
No.
In the US, there are no specific rules about what a service dog should or should not wear. They legally do not have to be identified in any way. Plus, it is also fairly easy to purchase a vest, ID cards, tags, and harnesses from businesses that will happily put whatever you want on them and even provide you with a certificate.
Yeah. QR code, legit organization. I really think that we need to have a regulated organization. That's where the third certification comes from. And if you don't have that, then it's not legit. I know that might be a little, I don't know. I don't know what the word is, but that might be a little bit rough for a lot of people to hear. But I'm sorry, regulations are there for a reason. And sometimes it is really necessary to have certain regulations and very specific certifications that run certain types of services out there.
Yeah, and it depends.
Not everybody and their mother or their brother can run a business and certify a service dog. I just think there should be one organization with like maybe umbrella things, but it all connects to that one legit organization.
Yeah, it all depends on whether the government wants to get involved and regulate this industry.
Yeah. I mean, most of the time with animals, I think the government does more harm than not. But when it comes to something like this, this is like, we regulate medical equipment. Mm-hmm. Well, a service dog is medical equipment. So I don't know. I just think this is, again, probably in a small little bucket of people that think this way. But I just think that a legit service dog should be considered the same way we would with regulating oxygen tanks or regulating, I don't know, like any other medical equipment that people need in their home to live, because that's what these dogs do. And that's where I'm coming from, not to regulate animals in general, but to regulate service dogs because they are considered medical equipment in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Sentient, sentient medical equipment.
I think it's going to be a really big challenge. Hopefully not impossible, but I think it's going to be a big challenge to put these fake businesses and fake service dogs out of business.
Unfortunately, yeah, I agree with you. It makes me upset, but yeah, I agree. It's going to be difficult, but that's why I think we need to, I don't know, maybe just like we do like multi-country trade agreements, we should do something that is more than federally regulated when it comes to stuff like this. Like, you can't just walk into a store and buy an oxygen tank. You shouldn't just be able to buy a dog for the sake of maybe having a service dog. Like, that should not happen.
Mm.
We're hurting people that need these animals to function as humans.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it's fair.
Yeah, right now, these businesses that are selling these fake service dog vests, patches, backpacks, and whatnot, they have escalated their profits in recent years. And so they are enabling pet owners to use these items to enter restaurants with their pets, ride with their dog in an airplane cabin, and claim other kinds of special accommodations that are intended for people with disabilities. Now, in Canada, it seems that there are counterfeit government IDs that are identifying the handler or person with a physical mental health condition as needing to have a service dog.
Oh, gosh.
But here's how you can tell the difference. These counterfeit IDs have a picture of the service dog. The real IDs have a picture of the handler.
Ah, that's a good way.
Yeah. So unless you can fake a picture of the handler, I guess that's possible because, I mean, you can always get a picture off the internet somewhere probably, but not trying to encourage that.
Reverse image search. But at least it's something that that's another hurdle that these scammers have to jump over.
Yes. So how is anyone really supposed to know which dogs are actual trained service dogs and which ones are being passed off as service dogs?
Well, I gave you a little bit of a hint.
Yeah. But we'll answer that question in more detail after the break.
All right. Looking forward to it. So stick around and we'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Miranda and I would like to thank you so much for joining us as we begin season 4 of the Animal Files podcast. This season, we have so many great topics and fantastic guests to share with you. So we would like to invite you to join us each week as we bring you the information you need to help you, your pet, and your family truly thrive. And if you want even more information, be sure to check out our website, theanimalfilespodcast.com, where we got lots of resources, and you can even connect to us on our socials. Now that that's out of the way, let's get back to the conversation. Welcome back to the Animal Files podcast. We are heatedly discussing fake service dogs. And I will do what I can because we're going to get a little bit deeper to kind of rein myself in a little bit. But first, before we continue, let's just review what a service dog is.
If you listened to our last episode, you've already heard this, but this is just a reminder for you. A service dog is a type of working dog that operates in a different capacity than police dogs, search and rescue dogs, detection dogs, or herding dogs. They are individually trained to do work or perform tasks for people who have various physical conditions or mental health conditions, and it allows these individuals to be able to have greater independence in our society. So service dogs are trained in depth to be able to work without becoming distracted. They quickly respond to verbal, physical, and sensory cues. They know how to behave in public. They're not going to start barking or become distracted or do distractive type behaviors, unless, of course, the handler needs assistance.
Yeah.
And they're not going to cause damage to the environment that they're in.
They're very, very, very strictly trained.
Yeah.
And intensely trained.
And they're not going to be reactive. So the individuals who require and receive support from these service dogs are referred to as handlers, and service dogs are not considered pets. They're still treated more or less like a pet when they're in their home environment, but they are not a pet when they are out with their handler. They are a working dog. They are doing a job. So you might think that, oh, you know, if I see a service dog or somebody who has a dog that says it's a service dog and it looks like a pug or it looks like a chihuahua or some type of dog like that, you might think, oh, well, those aren't real service dogs. But service dogs can be a variety of breeds. They can be mixed breeds. And it really depends on the task that they are being trained to perform. You know, obviously, a Chihuahua is not going to be trained to pull a wheelchair up a ramp.
Yeah, no. But a Chihuahua might be able to detect when your sugar's dropping.
Yes. So some of these dogs perform a lot of physical type tasks. But some of these dogs perform more sort of, it's kind of emotional, but it's more than what an emotional service animal would do. An emotional service animal is just supportive just by their being, whereas a psychiatric service dog or service animal is more specifically trained to do certain things. And just an example of that, that we mentioned in our previous episode is that, you know, for somebody who has PTSD, there's two things that they could have challenge. Like, there's a lot of different things, but these are two of the things that they can have challenges with. One is entering a dark room. Could be very, very emotionally challenging for them. So a service dog would be trained to turn on the light for them before they enter the room so that they can feel safer. They also, because somebody with PTSD can have emotional challenges with dealing with the public. And so a service animal helps them with anxiety and panic attacks and helping them to navigate certain situations so that they're able to stay calmer. So that is the difference between a psychiatric service animal and an emotional support animal. So it's just brought to my attention that I had been saying emotional service animal instead of emotional support animal. And I just want to clarify that what I had meant to say was emotional support animal are the ones that are not trained. Emotional service animals would be basically the same as the psychiatric service dogs.
Okay, that's good to know.
So just in case I created any kind of confusion there, I just wanted to clarify that for all of you. So now you know more specifically, again, what a service animal does, but what is a misrepresented service animal then? Well, we touched on it a bit. In a lot of cases, they are the emotional support animals, which again, these animals are not trained to perform any kind of specific tasks or trained to support their handler in any way. They might support their handler, but they're not trained to.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a handler, it would be their person.
Yeah.
There might be cases too where maybe sometimes people use their therapy animal and represent them as a service animal. The way to tell the difference is that misrepresented service animals are often going to be distracted by other animals and people. Doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to bark or lunge or have very strong behaviors in that sense, but they're still going to be reacting in some way to other animals and people.
Yeah, like a regular dog would.
Yeah.
Out in the streets and you're taking them for a walk. Mm-hmm. Like they're just observing everything.
Yeah.
A service dog is not going to be observing everything.
Yeah. You know, like you're sitting somewhere and somebody walks relatively close to where the dog is, a trained service dog will not get up and go to sniff that person.
No.
A misrepresented service dog, a fake service dog, might get up and sniff. So it might not be aggressive or anything, but just the fact that it is going and doing that shows you that it's not doing a job at that moment.
See, I've seen some service dogs that they have to pay attention to what's around them for the safety of their handler.
Yes.
But what they will do is they will probably like not move and just give you the side eye, or they'll be tense. Their body language will be tense because they're sensing something and they're on guard, not in a dangerous or aggressive way. They're just on guard. So they might give you the side eye, but they won't move.
Yeah.
They won't change because they're just going to make sure that their handler is protected and safe.
Yeah, there's a difference between being alert and being reactive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't confuse reactive as being aggressive. Reactive is just meaning that they are reacting to whatever the situation is and not staying in the role that they were trained for. Another way to tell a fake service dog is that they're likely not going to respond quickly or at all to any verbal, physical, or sensory cues. This is a real key one, I think, because I see this at the dog park all the time.
Strong-willed dogs. What, you talking to me? I'm over here doing this stuff.
Some of these fake service dogs may end up becoming nervous and agitated in unfamiliar situations and environments. There's a lot of unsocialized animals out there who have not been taken into a variety of situations to be able to get used to them. And as we were already talking about, they might become reactive in certain situations or around other people or animals. Plus, they're not going to display consistent publicly accepted behaviors. They might be okay sometimes, but other times they're not.
Mm-hmm. Other times they're just dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They're just being who they are. They're not trained to be anything other than just being themselves.
Right. So for example, a fake service dog might try to grab food in a food establishment.
Yeah, that's a big red flag that this dog is not a service dog.
So if a dog has not been trained to behave appropriately in public spaces, to respond immediately when their handler needs them to, and easily becomes distracted, they are not a true service dog.
Yeah, I think we need to repeat that again for all of the people in the back. If a dog hasn't been trained to behave appropriately in public spaces, to respond immediately when their handler needs them to, and they easily become distracted, they are not a true service dog. You might see that in a puppy that's just starting its training, but you're not going to see that in a true service dog.
Yeah. Or they might have been trained by one of these fake service dog organizations, which
they're not a true service dog.
Yeah. But just in case you end
again,
up being...
regulations. Seriously, we have to come to some type of agreement that this is what signifies a true service dog. Yeah. It might make the dogs, the dogs are really expensive to begin with, but it'll, help curb the scammers out there. Hopefully.
So now comes another interesting area. Let's start exploring the differences and the similarities between legislation and rules within Canada and the US.
Oh, no. I'll try to be good.
So in Canada, service dog rights are primarily governed by provincial and territorial laws. The federal government has also introduced measures to protect the rights of individuals with disabilities. So for example, we have the Canadian Human Rights Act, which addresses the rights of individuals with disabilities, including the right to be accompanied by a service animal. But Canadians who use service dogs can be asked to provide an ID card or other type of document that is issued by an organization or a person who has specialized in service dog training, so that this ID card and these documents identifies both the person with the disability and their service dog. Plus, it requires the organization or the person who trained the dog to attest to the person's need for the service dog, the tasks that the dog was trained for, and give credentials of their training ability.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't know. Okay, we'll go into the U.S. and I'll keep my peanut gallery stuff. But I think that at least Canada's on the right foot in regards to some of the things that I think needs to happen.
Yeah, I think you are right. I mean, I don't think any of these legislations and that are perfect right now. I think they all probably need some work to some extent.
Oh, yeah, as is but, the case in everywhere.
Yeah. In the United States, however, the Americans with Disabilities Act, known as ADA, is the primary federal law that addresses the rights of individuals with disabilities, including those who use service animals. So the ADA applies nationwide and sets the standards for service animal access. They do not require handlers to provide documentation of their disability or the service dog's training.
That's the problem I have. I'm a proud American, but I got a problem with that.
So under ADA rules, in situations where it is not obvious that a dog is a service animal, there are only two questions that can be asked. Is a dog a service animal and is it required because of a disability? And what work or task has the dog been trained to perform? So the reply to the second question must affirm that the service dog has been trained to take specific action when needed to assist the person with a disability. The purpose of these two questions, well, this rule and these two questions are intended to ensure that no individual with a legitimate serious physical or mental health condition is interrogated or made to feel inferior. Unfortunately, though, this is paving the way for dishonesty.
Yeah, big time. Big time. I think that's what I have the biggest problem with. And maybe it's just because I see it since I am in the US and I do see things when I'm out and about. This drive, I guess, to be dishonest is what really bothers me. And it's why I get so heated when we talk about some of these legal things, because I don't think the laws are going far enough. And I'm all for a good politically correct moment. Yeah. Say what makes whoever you're talking to feel more comfortable. I'm totally okay with that. But when it comes to something like this, again, a service dog is medical equipment, sentient medical equipment. And the fact that there are people out there who, because of the laws in my country, are allowed to fake that and get away with dishonesty is what really bothers me, because there's so many people in my country and in the world that need service dogs and either can't afford it or they're discriminated against because somebody was dishonest. It's the same reason why landlords don't want animals in their properties, because of dishonest, bad humans who don't know how to care for their animal and care for the spaces they live in. And I just have a real problem with this dishonesty trend. Just because you feel entitled doesn't mean you get to do whatever the heck you want. And you cannot injure somebody else's rights just so you get what you want. And that's why I get so heated about some of this, because it does pave the way for this intense dishonesty, especially in my country, because our laws are so lax and everybody's like, oh, don't point me out. You're discriminating against me because you're asking me if I deserve to have a service animal. Like, that behavior is just abhorrent to me. It really is. If you legitimately need a service dog, you should not feel discriminated against because somebody who owns an establishment that you want to walk into is asking you these questions. Like that. Yeah. So that's kind of where my whole position comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And the more regulations around service dogs, I think the less we'll have this thing. And I think it has to be a standard regulation, not pick and choose. Well, okay, I'm in New York, so we have this regulation, and you're in Louisiana because you got this thing, and you're in Canada because you got this legislation. It should be uniform,
mm-hmm.
at least as far as service dogs, because this is not just a US issue. This is not just a Canadian issue. People around the world need legitimate service dogs. That's why I think there should be this uniformity involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've stated my stance, let's get into the conversation a little bit more. Maybe me being able to say all that might help me to kind of rein myself in for the next part of this, but that's where I'm coming from. And if you are one of those people that wants to rig the system in your favor, then I'm sorry, you don't deserve it. You just don't deserve it. If you're trying to rig the system and trying to get something because you feel entitled, then you are a bad human in my eyes when it comes to the situation. Because you're causing the problem. You are the problem. And these people who seriously need these dogs are being marginalized and discriminated against. And that's wrong because of your entitlement. Get over yourself. I'm sorry. I'm going to get a little bit more heated now, but that's my stance. And that's why these last two episodes I've gotten a little heated. Because I just don't think it's fair. And I'm all about justice and fairness. And if you think you're entitled that other people's rights don't matter, then you're the problem. And in my country, we have a lot of people like that, that are the problem. And I'm still a proud American. I love my country, but I know we have a problem with entitlement in this country. Stepping off the soapbox, let's continue. Not a good rant in a while. So there you go.
So going back to some of the regulations and what ADA allows and does not allow, although some service dogs may wear vests or special harnesses or collars or tags, the ADA does not require dogs to wear these. They do not require dogs to display any identification. They do not require service dogs to receive training from a legitimate professional organization. And they do not require service dogs to become certified.
Come on, the U.S. Get on the ball. Get on the ball. All right.
So as a result, there is going to be a lot of dogs. I can't say to what percentage. But there are quite a few dogs that are wearing ID vests or tags that are not actually service dogs. So there might be some emotional support animals that have been legitimately registered through a psychologist. Some may be pets that owners are calling emotional support animals without any registration. And some are just simply pets.
Yes. Again, ESAs are not service dogs.
No. They can offer emotional support, yes, but they are not trained. They are not psychiatric service animals, which is a specific category of service dogs. So the ADA does make a distinction between psychiatric service dogs and emotional support animals. For example, if the dog has been trained to sense that an anxiety attack is about to happen, and takes a specific action to help avoid the attack or lessen its impact, that would qualify as a service animal. But if the dog's mere presence provides comfort, that would not be considered a service animal under the ADA.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. There are so many ways for a regular pet to get passed off as a service dog. And a number of businesses are also supporting this, as we mentioned earlier. Canada, though, seems to have more regulations in place that is limiting the fake service dog syndrome. But on the flip side of that, Canadians are not afforded the same level of privacy as Americans when it comes to their severe or life-limiting mental and physical health conditions.
Yeah, I'm going to have another little moment here.
Okay.
Again. We Americans need to get over ourselves because, number one, it should not be considered, and still in this country, it is. It's shifting. I understand that it's shifting, but especially with psychiatric conditions, it's like nobody wants to talk about it. Everything is taboo. Everything is like, oh, don't say that. Oh, you could do with depression. Oh, you can't talk about your depression. Oh, you can't talk about this. You can't talk about that. And that's created this environment. It's almost like if you ask the question, you're supposed to feel shame. And I think that's just a, I don't know if it's generational stigma that psychiatric issues have had in this country, but if somebody asks, they're not putting you down. They're not making you less than. That's you. You're making yourself less than. They're not making you, they're trying to protect their other patrons to whatever the establishment is. They're not picking you out of a crowd and wanting to pick on you specifically. There are things that need to be done. And yes, there's a certain level of privacy that we should be allowed to have. But when it comes to these issues that affect other people, then I'm sorry, get over yourself, because nobody is coming up to you and picking on you. And if our country as a whole would start to acknowledge that psychiatric conditions exist and people are still trying to live their lives and be human with them, we should not demonize them or make them feel less than because they have something. We need to start being able to figure out where the line gets drawn. You know, if you're walking into a restaurant with a service dog, you shouldn't feel offended if somebody asks you if that's a legitimate service dog and what issue is that dog helping you for. That is not an attack on you personally. That's a way to protect the other people within the establishment. I don't know. I think we just need to lessen the quote unquote taboo issue and shame issue of any type of psychiatric issues. And if we can get over that, then it shouldn't be an issue. I don't know if I'm speaking clearly enough, but I think we are our own worst enemies. That
in most cases, yes.
Yeah, we feel shame for things that we shouldn't feel shame for. And this is a little bit of a tangent. You know, I'm in my 50s now. I am dealing with ADHD. I was never treated. I was never diagnosed as a young person. And I was always considered less than or broken as I'm growing up. And I carried a lot of shame my whole life. Now that there's more research and support, I'm different. I'm better. I'm getting the help and being able to work through what I need. But it has taken me a long time to get rid of that shame because I was made to feel shameful because of I couldn't do something like a normal person, quote unquote, normal person, you know, and that's got to go away. Like, I'm not saying ADHD needs a service dog. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that is a psychiatric condition that needs the stigma to be taken away from. And a lot of these other things, if you have schizophrenia, if you have epilepsy, if you have any of these conditions that might need an actual psychiatric service dog, we should not demonize that condition and make people feel shameful for having them. Let them be humans. Let them live a life. Let them be able to be out in public and do the things that they need to do. And I think we as Americans need to start changing our perspective about this thing. And I will get off my second soapbox of the day. But I think that's what's causing all of these issues in our country of this fake dishonesty, fake service dogs, fake ESAs. It's because of this shame. And those that don't care and are going to grift the system, they're taking somebody else's shame. It's almost like stolen valor in a sense, so they can get what they want. I just think it's wrong. So yeah. Come on, Americans, we need to do better. We can do better. I know we can do better. All right. I'm putting the box away, hopefully, for the rest of this episode. It's been a while. So.
So remember that counterfeit ID that we talked about before the break?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Canadian government apparently always uses the picture of the handler in order to prevent others from using the service dog for their benefit. Mm-hmm. And as I'm sure you've already figured out, the U.S. government doesn't require any ID. So is anything being done to help prevent these deceptions?
I hope. Please give me some good news.
Well, there are actions that are starting to be taken on the legal level, but they're still pretty limited at this point. The penalties for passing a dog off as a service dog in the U.S. is rather spotty. It varies state by state. There are currently 23 states that have some type of penalty, but in some cases, not enough to really deter. Because in some areas, such as, I know you're going to go off here again, in some areas such as New York, the consequences are quite small. A $25 fine for the first offense.
Oh my gosh, it should be $150 for the first offense. Sorry. And then $3,000 for the second. All right, continue.
However, that's still better than Canada, where there has been no province that has passed any legislation making the use of a fake service dog a punishable offense up to this point.
All right. Maybe we're doing something right. I don't know.
There are many state and local governments that are working towards making it an offense to misrepresent a service animal and have started to introduce laws. So, for example, Florida's House Bill 71, which was enacted in 2015, considers knowing and willfully misrepresenting a service animal to be a misdemeanor of the second degree, with the consequence of having to perform 30 hours of community service for an organization that serves individuals with disabilities, or for another entity or organization at the discretion of the court to be completed in not more than 6 months.
That makes you feel better. Maybe we're inching there.
You'll probably like this one to some extent. There are other organizations that are also stepping in to make it more difficult to have counterfeit companions. In 2016, the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans created CGC Plus, which is a minimum standard for training and behavior for the service dogs their members provide to veterans. Mm-hmm. So CGC Plus mandates that dogs pass the AKC, the American Kennel Club, Canine Good Citizen, Community Canine, and Urban CGC tests. Plus,
that's good.
Demonstrate proficiency in performing 3 randomly selected specific services for a disabled person.
Mm, okay.
The 2016 federal PAWS bill incorporated the American Kennel Club's CGC into the service dog requirements for Veterans Administration funded dogs.
Okay.
Then we've got the American Service Dog Access Coalition, which is a charitable not-for-profit organization that is comprised of major service dog groups, service dog access providers, advocates for the disabled, service dog trainers, and policymakers that are seeking to improve access for legitimate service dog teams while also incentivizing high-quality behavioral standards for all service dogs and educating the public about the crime of service dog fraud.
Yay! Round of applause, please.
So this organization is building an opt-in service dog credentialing system called Service Dog Pass, or SDP, that will streamline the air travel process for service dog teams while also reducing the challenges faced by gatekeepers when working to accommodate them. So the Service Dog Pass will provide airlines with relevant information to easily identify valid, well-trained service dogs while also providing service dog teams with increased comfort and confidence to travel by plane.
Nice.
So, I mean, we kind of talked a lot about this already in the episode, but should organizations such as the ADA and provincial state legislations develop stronger criteria to both help protect the rights of individuals legitimately requiring assistance from service dogs, as well as deter would-be fraudulent tricksters?
Well, we think we know where I stand.
Is there a way to merge?
Yes.
Is there a way to merge both of these areas? What are your thoughts? And this is asking you guys as well that are listening.
Yeah, we all know where I stand and what my thoughts are. I did not hold back in this episode. So. But we'd love to hear your thoughts. We really would. So if you have any ideas or you have any comments, if you want to answer these questions, you know, what are your thoughts? Let us know by emailing us at theanimalfilespodcast@gmail.com. And we will hopefully discuss this again. I think this might be one of those topics that we might have to bring up once a season or something like that to see where the advances have been coming and what's being done and how we can protect these animals and protect their handlers. But yeah, what are your thoughts? Let us know. And if you have any other thoughts, you can send those our way too. And we have our website that has information, and we'll try to get some information about service dogs up on the website. And that's theanimalfilespodcast.com. Anything else you want to add?
If you also have any ideas of topics that you would like us to talk about that are near and dear to your heart and you think that we should bring out in the open, feel free to let us know about that too, because we love tackling a variety of topics, especially ones that are going to be particularly helpful to getting information out there, developing more awareness of different things.
Yeah, well, that's what we stand for. We stand for exposing the true science and spirituality of pet care. And when it comes to service dogs and fake service dogs, we want to expose the truth. Let people know what's out there, what to look for, and how to handle it when you encounter it, or what you can do as you are voting in elections. You know, get out there and spread the word, and maybe we can shore up these things that, at least in my country, we're doing, and maybe we can adopt some of what Canada's doing, and we'll go from there. So, and while you're at the website, we have our socials, so you can check us out there. And if you ever want to support us, there are ways to do that from there as well.
And we've already given you a lot of things that you could do, but don't forget to share this information with others to get this information out there more and help people to become more aware about this issue, as well as our previous one where we are talking about what service dogs are in the first place, so that people have a greater understanding around both of these areas.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we gave you a lot. You got an ear full of my ranting and raving. So we will see you next time on The Animal Files. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please be sure to rate, review, and recommend the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want some more great info, be sure to check out www.theanimalfilespodcast.com.